Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. State tax revenues sank in July, missing expectations by so many millions of dollars. The state budget, only 6 weeks old, is already in the red. The budget's authors optimistically banked on $4 billion that may not materialize. California relies heavily on the capital gains of our wealthiest citizens, and while Wall Street's recent swings won't manifest in tax revenues until September, this latest report hints the road ahead could be quite rocky. Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has more.
The tax dollars taken in by state government in July were almost $539 million below what was anticipated. And that puts extra pressure on every other month in the fiscal year, says State Controller John Chung.
We're short of what the budget requires. Hopefully we get a pickup in the economy. If we don't, then the triggers may go into effect.
The triggers that the controller is talking about are what make the weak revenues so worrisome. The state budget contains a unique provision that triggers new automatic spending cuts if revenues are at least $1 billion under the projections written into law. And July puts the state more than halfway there. The first hits would be new $100 million cuts to both the UC and CSU systems, as well as higher community college fees, cuts in programs for the disabled, cuts in health care for the poor, and beyond. The cuts would begin in January, and that means the next few months are crucial, even as recent national events have stirred a new round of fears about the economy. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
A Mexican movie theater chain is expanding into Southern California. You might think it's just another bid to capitalize on California's 14 million Latinos. There have been many over the years, many of them quite successful. But that's not the story here, as Amy Isaacson explains from San Diego.
When you step into Cinepolis, it doesn't look like a movie theater. Dave and Chris Litwack say it's more like a chic hotel.
It looks, you know, kind of young and hip, and it looks like a fun place to come.
They've redone it. I mean, from what it was, it looked like a, you know, horrible kind of movie theater to now it's modern and it's elegant.
Cinepolis remodeled an old Ultrastar theater. That's a California chain that was advanced back in its day, the first to go all digital. But Cinepolis has raised the bar. The lobby floors are dark hard wood. There's an art gallery. General manager Antonio Garcia points to people sipping cocktails at the bar.
We have an extensive wine menu with over 40 different wines. We also have an extensive drink list from chili mango martinis to Cinepolis Magnificent Margarita.
Small dining tables are dotted about. Sushi and fancy finger foods are made fresh in the kitchen. So it costs $19.50 just to get in the door. You can order all of this with a push of a button from your cushy, leather-powered recliner in the state-of-the-art theaters. When asked where they think the concept originated, people in the lobby have nearly as many guesses as there are flavors of popcorn on the menu.
I would guess France.
China,
Greece,
it's from Europe.
Honestly, I'm not even sure.
That's Chris Litwack, Julie Brewster, and Jenny Flanagan. When Kristen Blakeman finds out Cinepolis is from Mexico, she's surprised.
Typically, things go the other way as opposed to this kind of luxury coming up here from there.
It's always been, like, even since I was a little kid, explaining to people that we don't necessarily drive burros and eat tacos every single day.
Carlos Wellman grew up in Mexico City and now lives in La Jolla. He's managing Cinepolis's expansion in the U.S. Cinepolis began in Mexico in the late 1940s. It's now the world's fourth largest cinema chain. Even so, Wellman says it was tough to open on this side of the border.
I mean, how are you guys going to do theaters if we invented the cinema, right?
Mexican businesses have been coming to the U.S. for years. For example, Entenmann's and Thomas's English Muffins are owned by a Mexican company. Borden Dairy Products is too. Traditionally, it's huge Mexican corporations that buy existing U.S. companies. Cinepolis is on the cusp of a new trend. Mexican companies coming to the U.S. as themselves and not necessarily banking on a Latino market. Enrique Hernandez is an attorney in San Diego who specializes in helping Mexicans do business in the U.S. Cinepolis is one of his clients. He says there's a new generation of Mexican businessmen eyeing the U.S. market.
The small companies of the young entrepreneurs, they say, okay, I have the vision, I have the energy, I'm not afraid of the U.S. I actually feel very comfortable in the U.S. market. I have a good product and I can be successful there.
A luxury Mexican gym, also Hernandez's clients, has already opened two branches in San Diego. Hernandez says many of these businessmen, like two of the Cinépolis USA partners, get graduate degrees in the U.S. Elizabeth Schreiber, who signed the lease with Cinépolis in Del Mar, says the company's Mexican roots are a non-issue.
You know, that didn't really bother me because really the way we saw it was the founders of this U.S. group are actually a couple of Harvard MBAs.
Back at the movie theater, Cinépolis director Carlos Wellman says he hopes the theaters help expand people's perception of Mexico.
There are surprising companies that people aren't necessarily aware of that come from Mexico, the education, the culture, the population, and we hope that this will set a standard.
Cinépolis has identified 15 markets across the U.S. that it plans to move into. Next up are La Costa in San Diego's North County and Laguna Niguel. For the California Report, I'm Amy Isaacson in Del Mar.
For the first time in a century, California common murres have returned to nest on the Channel Islands. The football-sized black and white seabirds are believed to have abandoned the islands off the Southern California coast because humans kept nabbing the murres' distinctive turquoise eggs. Josh Adams with the U.S. Geological Survey's Western Ecological Research Center was one of the scientists who spotted the nest this summer. He says the birds have been casing the islands since the early 1990s, but it took them a while to recolonize the rocky sea cliffs.
Seabirds are extremely fidelic to their locations where they breed, so the young come back to where they're hatched and they don't generally disperse very far. So it took a long time for this to manifest.
Adams credits conservation work, like that done just south of San Francisco at Devil's Slide, for encouraging the murres to retake the California coast. We have a link to more information, including photos of the nesting birds, online at californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Wednesday, August 10th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the SunPower Corporation, offering high-efficiency solar energy solutions to households and businesses in California and worldwide. The world standard for solar. SunPowerSolar.com. The Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.